Today's show is brought to you by our new sponsor, Cog Network. Cog Network, geared for gain.
Cog Network is hedge fund investing evolved.
By owning Cog Network tokens, you get exposure to the hedge fund's gains. The hedge fund is comprised of algorithmically traded commodity futures and investment in hard assets related to energy. The first hard asset is partial ownership of a multi-million dollar solar farm that has a crypto mining operation attached.
I mean, this is really something that both traditional and crypto investors can come together and participate in. So for traditional investors, they can get exposure to cutting-edge blockchain technology in a framework that they're familiar with, a hedge fund, right? And crypto investors can get exposure to an actual security that bears dividends and includes non-crypto assets.
So that's super cool. And just for full disclosure, Cog Network is a fully registered and regulated entity qualified by the SEC as a Reg D as well as a Reg S and has a 506C exemption. They've been working with lawmakers since 2017 to get this idea built out in a fully compliant way.
Crypt Nation, if you guys are interested in learning more about a tokenized hedge fund, go visit www.cog.network.
What's up, good citizens of Crypt Nation? You have Pizza Mind here. I'm running solo today. Bryce is taking care of the Crypto Hedge Fund Summit interviews, which are just beginning today. That's right. We're putting on yet another virtual summit, and they're really taking off like wildfire. We're seeing them pop up all over the place now, and we're really happy to see that this free information is being made available to the masses. So definitely, if you have this is your first time hearing about it, check out CryptoHedgeFundSummit.com. And we also want to thank our sponsors for this episode, eToro and Cog Network. This is a pretty cool episode. We're going to be talking with Will Reeves, the CEO and co-founder of the Fold app. Fold is one of the coolest things going on in crypto right now because they're helping get Bitcoin into the hands of people that otherwise might have no idea how to do it. So, Will, welcome to the Crypto 101 podcast.
Thanks, Aaron. It's great to be here.
I wanted to ask you something non-crypto related before we jump into everything. With everything going on right now with the coronavirus and everyone working from home, I know you guys over there at Fold, you guys have always worked as a distributed team. Is that correct?
Yeah. So Fold has, you know, from the outset, been working in a remote first capacity. And it has been very interesting watch the rest of the world adopt or transition to this right now. And, you know, it is certainly one of those things that's challenging to do even when we're not in a crisis. But when we're in a crisis, it provides other challenges too that I imagine a lot of other businesses who weren't remote first are now facing.
Now, why did you decide to do this from the outset? What were the advantages and disadvantages that you were weighing?
You know, we're a small team that had a big vision of what we wanted to accomplish, and it requires having access to the best talent in the world. And you know, when you have seed funding and you're a small startup to begin with, it's hard to compete for the best talent when you're facing some of the larger players. And so, it was always very important to us to number one, make sure that Fold had access to a deep talent pool that's global, but also, you know, it really aligns with the culture we have here at Fold about individual responsibility and freedom, and really that work and life need to be mutually beneficial. And we find the best mix of that is in a remote context.
I've always found that my favorite jobs have been working remote. But I know for a lot of other people that are very extroverted, it's an awful thing to be stuck in the house all day. There's no chance to be social and talk to people face to face and look someone in the eye. But what advice would you give to other business owners out there that are listening to this podcast and are trying to adjust to managing people that they can't actually see? They don't know if they're actually working or not. What's some advice you might be able to give?
Yeah, I mean, when you go from you know, being co-located in an environment where you can see everyone on your team to suddenly everyone is squirreled away into their own homes, you're trying to still, you know, execute on the goals that you have, but you can't see them, you don't know what they're doing, and it's got to be a rough transition for many people right now. And you know, the way that we have done it is number one, you have to attract the right type of people that are seeking a job where that allows them the freedom, but with extreme accountability. And that's really some of the magic of being a remote workforce, is that there's a lot of trust involved. And the only way that trust is built is off, you know, good accountability structures and good culture. And so, you know, if you're worried about people aren't doing their work or that, you know, I think the thing that people normally miss is that it's not just the difference of working in an office versus working at home. There's an entire different value system, culture, and technology stack required to support a remote team versus a team that's co-located. And so I think we're going to see a lot of collisions with normally co-located teams now going remote and saying, oh, we're not as efficient, we're not as effective, I don't know what everyone's doing. And that is less a symptom of now working remote and more a symptom of just the infrastructure and culture that they have developed up until this point was not geared or fine-tuned towards a remote environment. And so I think getting that right, understanding that it's going to be a hard transition is the first thing to do. But you'll also understand is that when you go remote, the social element is that much more important. Even though you're not small talk together in one room, you need to be even more socially aware, empathetic, to your teammates' point of view. And so, you know, you have to lean into the social. Do not allow isolation. Do not allow people to not know what the goal is. And so things like syncing up in the morning, you know, for 15, 20 minutes as a team, outlining the goals for the day, making sure that when someone has an idea or is running into a problem, it's documented in text in your chat so that, you know, people who are not at the desk at that moment can come back, get up to speed, and your team can work together. It's a really fascinating subject, and, you know, we are constantly fine-tuning it ourselves over here at Fold.
Very well said. And I think one just thing I want to add to that is you can have just as good efficiency, if not better, when working remote. And the reason for that is simply people don't have to deal with a grueling commute first thing in the morning. They're not rushing out of their house, half made up, trying to wake up while they're driving through traffic to clock in on time. They're going to be a lot more at peace, hopefully, despite all the craziness going on, just for not simply having that commute. They get 2 to 4 hours of their day back just by working at home. So once the infrastructure is in place, and like you mentioned, the culture is in place, I think you're going to see your bottom line still be just as happy. And I think we're going to see a lot of people decide to stick with remote work, or at least allow it on a more regular basis, even after this all passes.
I couldn't agree more. You people really understanding the work-life balance, the value of working remote, it's going to be hard to go back. And I think that's going to create a lot of people who are pushing for change in their own companies. And the good thing is that companies like Fold and a lot of others that have been doing remote for a while have created playbooks, have a lot of good support and resources to help guide these other companies to making this transition. To, you know, be honest, the Fold team would not be as talented, would not be as effective, and would not be as happy if it weren't for our remote first culture.
Well said. So let's finally dive into the Fold app. Give us a high-level overview of what the Fold app is trying to accomplish.
So the Fold app is trying to give as many people Bitcoin in the least amount of time. We are trying to really remake the onboarding experience into Bitcoin. And the way we've done it is creating a Bitcoin rewards app that gives you cash back in Bitcoin for, you know, doing the shopping you do every day at Amazon, Uber, Starbucks. And so the idea here is that Fold believes there are more people interested in shopping and spending than there are speculators who mostly attracted to exchanges. And we are building the product to give value and focus on what we consider the longer tail of potential new Bitcoiners. And those are those that don't necessarily want to go through the KYC, don't want to put their hard-earned money on the table by buying into Bitcoin to begin with. They don't really understand how to set up a wallet. And Fold removes all of those initial hurdles and allows you to earn Bitcoin in the first 10 minutes after using the app. From there, you can learn about the asset and we help educate you so that you can go further and further down the rabbit hole. But really, Bitfold is all about promoting and accelerating Bitcoin adoption.
And you guys are doing a great job at it. Now, if we dive in a little bit deeper, what he's talking about is this is an app that lets you buy gift cards to places that you're going to go every day anyway. Starbucks, Southwest Airlines, you know, all kinds of stuff that people are always using. And you simply go there, you buy the gift card, you pay for it with the gift card, and then you get sats back. Now, there's a lot of other companies that are doing this. What problems did you see with them that inspired you to make Fold?
You know, they're in the space, you know, we're in the Bitcoin community and companies taking on, you know, a project that has to do with Bitcoin. It's important that we all are kind of doing our own experiments, executing on our own visions. And we had the first wave of real Bitcoin products and companies come out that were primarily wallets and exchanges. Really, it's how do I hold Bitcoin and how do I get Bitcoin? This new wave that we're seeing that Fold is very much a part of is this on this earning and alternative ways of buying and or earning Bitcoin. And so Fold, along with a few others, saw this as a major opportunity to make it easier for people to get Bitcoin, remove the barriers and frictions involved. But you'll see that they all work very differently. And Fold was created very specifically in the way it is to focus on, number one, how can we both create a way for people to earn Bitcoin, but also how do we draw them into deeper into the ecosystem to enjoy all the benefits of Bitcoin? You know, here at Fold, we think Bitcoin is the best reward because it has the flexibility of cash and the upside of a high performing asset. And so Fold supports both of those use cases. You know, you can both earn Bitcoin, you can spend Bitcoin, and you can be rewarded for doing both of those. And so, you know, there are other companies that focus purely on, you know, the earning aspect and getting it to you, but Fold really is here to promote and go a little bit further in integrating the idea of the circular economy, connecting these users who have their first experience with Bitcoin to all the other things that it can do. And so we really wanted to create a platform about adoption that connects people into how to get it, how to keep it, and how to use it versus others that maybe are just more just a funnel to get more Bitcoin that just, you know, puts more Bitcoin in your pocket, which is definitely part of our goal. But we also want to go a little bit further.
Very well said. I think Fold App is one of the best onboarding tools for non-technical, non-financial people. I mean, literally anyone can use it and understand it right away. And we all like cash back. And as you mentioned, you know, sats back is even better because it's going to be gaining value over time. But what I want to know is who actually pays out all this Bitcoin and how do they afford it? Is it just coming out of your pocket or who's actually providing the Bitcoin that your users are getting?
You know, there's no money trees in Bitcoin, right? Scarce asset. You know, we get all of the Bitcoin and are able to allow you to earn the Bitcoin because we work with retailers to negotiate a discount on all of the spending going through Fold. And then we split that with you, the end user. And so Fold earns a little Bitcoin every time you spend, and so do you.
Okay, so that makes sense. So let's say for like a $25 gift card to Starbucks, it might cost maybe $23, and then we each get like a dollar back in Bitcoin, something like that?
Yeah, so you're paying, the end user is paying the full price for the card, even though the retailer is giving us a discount on that. And then we take that discount, convert it into Bitcoin and then distribute it to you, giving you a couple dollars out of that, and Fold gets a little bit as well.
Okay, that makes sense then. Now, you've got something new coming out as well. You've got this rewards card, right? How does that work, and when can I get my greasy little hands on it?
We have been working with Visa for quite a while on this to get this announcement out, and we're really excited. You know, this Visa card is going to earn Bitcoin every time you swipe it. And so this really extends the existing Fold platform. It's no longer just our retail partners. Now it is everywhere you can think about possibly spending at any Visa merchant. And so this really expands the ability for people to earn Bitcoin, but also makes Fold more valuable because it's more relevant to, you know, more of the daily spending. So we've partnered with them. We've opened the wait list that anybody can get on right now. And the first release will happen in Q3. We'll be rolling out these cards to everybody.
Wow. So how does it work? Is it like a prepaid Visa debit card that you have to load US dollars on, or do you convert Bitcoin into dollars and load the Visa card?
Great question.
What's going on under the hood?
You spend dollars and you earn Bitcoin. Visa and Fold, we created a card program that allows you to spend, have the experience of a debit card, ease of use. You have an attached checking account. You can load it from various other sources, and combines it with the rewards of a credit card. So our debit card is going to give you rewards that are comparable and on par with some of your, you know, favorite credit cards that you also use. And so this is really important to Fold about, you know, creating a platform that's open to everyone, right? No credit scores required, but also gives you the same benefits of having one.
Do you have a friend who's interested in getting into cryptocurrency, but they don't know where to start building their portfolio? Well, we have the answer. It's called CopyTrader by eToro. With CopyTrader, you can automatically copy every trade of eToro's top crypto traders, just like myself or Bryce or Kevin, at the exact price point and in real time. No need to study up on markets or develop your own strategies. Simply just sign up and copy our trades. Any profits that we make, you do too. Proportional to your investment, of course. With eToro, you get access to the world's most popular cryptocurrencies with transparent trading fees all in one easy-to-use app. Copy the smart money with eToro. Join now at etoro.com/crypto101. Thank you. That's really big because there's been people in this industry trying to bring out stuff like this, you know, for 4 or 5 years now, and we've seen less success than I can count on one hand. So for you guys to be able to bring this to market is a huge, huge advancement and tip of the cap that you guys are doing things the right way. So congratulations on that. Visa's very, very particular who they work with. So that's incredible. What's next on the horizon after that? Like what is your like grand vision when you can finally say, the Fold app is complete?
You know, I don't know if we'll ever get there. I wish we could. That means we could take a little bit of a break, but the team is busy already working on the next thing. And really, you know, Fold's vision is to become the number one onboarding tool for new users. And so this means we fully intend to supplant Coinbase and all the other traditional on-ramps.
Wow.
Because we fully believe, and the data bears out, that we are providing a better, more frictionless on-ramp than what has ever existed. And so what you can expect from Fold is that, you know, we are providing a service that gives you free Bitcoin doing the things you do every day in a form that's familiar with it, with this new debit card. And from there, we can connect you to all these other amazing services to experience the full breadth of being and holding Bitcoin. And so this could be things like, how can we allow you and connect you to somewhere to buy Bitcoin, to hold and store your Bitcoin, potentially earn on that Bitcoin. And so we're really now trying to, the Fold debit card is really going to be the anchor for a much broader Fold experience that provides the same services that you could expect from other incumbent exchanges. But number one is only focused on Bitcoin, has the incentives that is paying you out every time you use it, and has none of the high friction points that are normally associated with exchanges. And so we're excited to provide a new way to be introduced to Bitcoin.
Wow, that's phenomenal. Deviating a little bit away from Fold again for a minute. I mean, I think we've got the picture of what you're doing there. But there's something we don't talk about too much over here on the Crypto 101 podcast, and that's the Lightning Network. So I wanted to take this opportunity to pick your brain because I know you've got some experience and knowledge about that. Is that correct?
Yeah, we are. We've been very active in the Lightning community and have seen a lot of success from it too. So yeah, happy to talk about that.
Awesome. So first, let's add a very, very broad definition. What is the Lightning Network and how is it coming along? What does it do?
So the Lightning Network was created to enable instantaneous and low-fee transactions using Bitcoin. And so you can think of the Lightning Network as a layer that sits on top of the Bitcoin network, preserves the core principles of Bitcoin, so censorship resistance, permissionless access, and allows you to access new qualities of it. So instant transactions and low fee, which are impossible on the base chain. And so Lightning Network is really there to open up a far more use cases and utility to the Bitcoin network overall. What it allows is instantaneous, you know, transactions in a retail setting, similar to what you'd expect from a credit card. It allows instant settlements, maybe used by exchanges. So you don't have to wait 10-minute block times. Instead, it's instant. And so really, it's supercharging Bitcoin. And Fold has used it and was always interested in it because it's so appropriate for Fold's use case of everyday use and spending. It matches the profile of a credit card transaction would feel like, except it's using Bitcoin without sacrificing any of the important qualities of core Bitcoin, which is, you know, some of the things that I mentioned earlier, open to everyone, accessible, but also with a high security model. And so Lightning Network is really here to supercharge the layer, enable new use cases, and you'll see in Fold, that's how we transact with our retail partners is via the Lightning Network.
Wow, that's amazing. So Lightning Network's really starting to get some mass adoption, would you say? Or do you think it's still in its infancy?
I tend to believe that despite how much progress has been made in the last year with Lightning alone, I still think we are in the earlier stages. There's great infrastructure being built out. You know, Lightning Network has a different design model. It has a different use cases that really the infrastructure may not have fully been baked out yet. And so what you're seeing right now was an immediate explosion of Lightning applications that came out because the core Lightning protocol is solid and is ready for actual everyday use. Now what's happening is the on-ramps into Lightning, the services built on top of it are all maturing. And once those mature, the incentives are right, the design is right, that's when you see these networks begin to saturate. And so we've made a ton of progress, but I'm even more excited about the future.
Wow, that's incredible. What are some other features that you think are still needed to help Bitcoin move around the world a little bit faster? I know that the collapse of, you know, our banking system and monetary system around the world right now is really helping Bitcoin become the essential business that it was meant to be. But what else do you see like that needs, like what's the next step of our infrastructure evolution?
So, I really think the main choke points with Bitcoin around the world are primarily around custody and on-ramps. And the custody part from the likes of Unchained Capital, Casa, has made some incredible strides. So how do you hold and secure Bitcoin, right? There's no concept of a third party holding it for you unless you're using an exchange or a custodial wallet, which is not the true way to use Bitcoin, but they serve a function. And so the custodial part, making non-custodial just as easy, just as safe and secure as custodial, I think is that parity will be reached shortly. And then on the other side, you have the on-ramps, which to me are the most exciting bit. This is really, how do you make it easier for people to move in and out of Bitcoin from their native currency? And there's been some great progress from people specifically in the Lightning community. You have companies like Escher, Wire, Strike, and many others that are making this process really seamless for people, for consumers and merchants to move in and out of Bitcoin very, very simply. And I think that's really important to do because number one, the more on and off ramps we have, the more resistant Bitcoin is at the application layer to any shutdowns, but it also creates more and more ways of making it easy to actually get your hands on and off Bitcoin, which has historically not been that easy.
Yeah, that's really well said. There's just a few more questions that I wanted to ask you before we let you run off. I was really curious about Fold Insights, if you don't mind sharing. Like, do you see any correlation between downloads and people, you know, saving the sats that they make on Fold with the price of Bitcoin? Or is it just, you know, people are really just always holding on to it? Or are they always trying to cash out into cash? What are you seeing in terms of correlations?
Yeah, so what, you know, really interesting behaviors that we've seen with Fold over the past several months is that people have almost begun dollar cost averaging into Bitcoin with their spending. So, you know, just as you might say, I want to invest a couple dollars into Bitcoin every day, and, you know, that's how I'm going to increase my Bitcoin stash. People say, I'm going to use Fold a little bit every day and increase my Bitcoin stash there. And so the cool thing is number one, they get to just slowly accumulate Bitcoin at prices that, you know, not during, you know, highs and lows that aren't emotionally driven, but it's more just kind of passively doing it in the background. And we do see on days when when Bitcoin price goes down, that the purchases on Fold go up. And that's because people see that as cheap sats. So your 4% back in Amazon is suddenly worth a lot more in sats than it was the day before when it was on a high. And so we absolutely see people start to stack at that point. That's why I love to say is that, you know, true hodlers and Bitcoiners, they don't care if the price goes down or goes up. Both are mutually beneficial for them.
Yeah, very well said. Besides what you're doing over there at Fold and the Lightning Network, what's one company you think is going to have the greatest impact on the crypto space?
Maybe a strange answer, but I'd say the Federal Reserve.
Interesting.
I think as that money printer continues to burn, I think we're at the very beginning of it, that will begin to create and solidify the case in a wider audience's minds about money itself and that there are different types of money in this world and which one maybe is better or more aligned with their own self-interest. I mean, you saw today there was a big opinion piece in Bloomberg that said straight up money is losing its meaning. And it is, we are going to feel this more and more. And the bull case for Bitcoin is actually becoming real. And I don't think there's a better context for Bitcoin to be tested and to prove its worth in the current conditions we see. And so I believe that the largest driver of that will be the Federal Reserve making that counterpoint to us.
That is really interesting. I never even thought of that, but you're really right, because Bitcoin supply is fixed, as we all know. And when people are printing money, that means the prices are going to go up. We're going to experience inflation. So not only, I mean, we're always wondering, you know, when's Bitcoin going to hit 20,000, 50,000, 100,000? I mean, even if it stays at its current value, I mean, just the cause of inflation in the US dollar can cause the price of Bitcoin to rise. So this is just one other aspect that we didn't even think of, but we do have the halving coming up. Bitcoin has unusually changed its course and its correlation is now sitting with the S&P 500. And for the first time, we've seen news that has nothing to do with crypto, that's macroeconomic. Like Bitcoin is no longer like its own little side ecosystem. It's now completely integrated with the rest of the world and the economy. And I think that evolution is probably going to be the biggest takeaway of 2020. And that's just something that is just beginning right now. I don't know how long it's going to last, but we had a really amazing conversation with Joshua Frank of the Tie, who was talking about this sentiment stuff and even the sentiment now. People doing searches and talking on social media, there's now a correlation between Bitcoin and the stock market. So this is really, really a crazy thing that I never thought would happen.
You know, people start to look at, you know, why is it correlated? You know, it shouldn't be correlated. It's uncorrelated. But wait, it's acting correlated. And the part of my response to this is that, you know, Bitcoin and the Bitcoin community, we're constantly trying to make our case to the rest of the world, right? This is why Bitcoin is great. Yeah, we constantly come up with all these different narratives of why. But at the end of the day, most people who are first hearing about it don't get that full picture and they try to fit it into their existing mental models. And so for most people, it's, oh my God, my friend made some money on Bitcoin. I need to get some Bitcoin. Number go up, more people get in. And I also think people put Bitcoin in the same mental model as they would stocks as well. And so you start to see people using just like they would a stock, even though it doesn't have to be. And so I think more and more you'll see the correlation start to drift, and it will be increasingly uncorrelated. But I think it makes perfect sense that in a time of crisis, an unexpected pandemic comes in, that it makes sense that people are, number one, searching for cash, and they're going to get it by selling their stocks or selling their Bitcoin, whatever it is, to get it. But they'll start to realize as the correlation begins to fade, the true value of Bitcoin. And so I think there's a little bit of lack of information amongst the markets, and people are, you know, acting and treating assets in maybe ways that they don't have to be or need to be, just because they fit an existing mental model. But I truly think that we will, you know, the case for Bitcoin will not be made by Bitcoiners. It will be made by everyone else and what we do with the existing legacy financial system.
Yeah, 100% right. And then let's move on to just a couple closing questions now. This has been a great conversation, Will. I wish we could talk all day, but we have to get back to work at some point. Who's one person that you admire in the crypto space?
One person I admire. I mean, there's so many. I mean, I love my ones that I admire, and there's too many to count to point someone specific, is the individual person who dedicates time to writing about Bitcoin, you know, not just shouting about it on Twitter, but just like really putting deep thought into it, producing new pieces that add to the canon of this asset. And so this is, I guess, a shout out to the plebs everywhere who contribute this great, you know, dearth of content around it that is there to onboard other people. And then I'll go all the way up the stack and I'll say, I think that Jack Dorsey's approach to all of this, both from his product decisions to his personal decisions and his personal advocacy, I think he is a powerful, powerful force in Bitcoin that should not be underestimated, and that helps all other companies working in the space. I think it is an incredible signal for the rest of the world.
Absolutely. Very, very well said. And then the final question we have for you, Will. If this is the first podcast someone getting into the Bitcoin space heard, what would you want them to know?
I want them to know to take it slow, that this process takes a while. You know, when money is perhaps the most fundamental piece of, you know, human relationships and interactions that we have, it's the physical manifestation of how we relate to people around us. And questioning that, providing a new model to that, is a big deal. It is questioning gravity to some extent. And so once Bitcoin, and I think it already has, it is that there is another world that can be here that operates according to a different set of physics, that is a big and steep learning curve. And so I say, maintain a curiosity and maintain a value system of what world do you want to live in, and can Bitcoin help you get there? And stay curious about that question, because it will be yes and no and yes and no. And finally, you'll find your place at a, you know, down the rabbit hole, but be patient.
I think that's great advice. And something that I was thinking of recently is people are terrified and absolutely petrified of admitting that they were wrong or that they got taken advantage of. I think that's a big thing that keeps people from getting involved in Bitcoin and being kept in cash, is they don't want to feel like they tried something new and then they were a sucker and then they lost. But I think now the script is flipped. You know, we all believed in the US dollar, the almighty dollar, the world reserve currency for our whole lives. And in 2008, and now again, it's proven that it's going to let us down, and the people in charge of it are letting us down. And I feel like it's okay to say that we got burned by the US dollar, because now there is an alternative. And Bitcoin is that alternative and safe, sound money that you can build your future upon. And I think there's a lot of people our generation that feel that way. But I just want to say to all our listeners out there, don't worry about your pride. Don't worry about getting hurt. It's okay to take chances. and just be curious and learn like Will recommended. And if you don't want to invest any money into it, that's okay, because there's the Fold app and you can earn Bitcoin just from doing what you already do. So Will, thank you so much for your time today. Where can the good citizens of Crypt Nation reach out to you and get the Fold app?
So you can go to foldapp.com. You can sign up for the card. You can download Fold iOS or Play Stores. Get on the list there and give me a shout out. I'm at WLRVS on Twitter. And let me know if you got any questions.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Will. We look forward to chatting with you next time.
Great. It's great to be here.
Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.